हरे कृष्ण वेलकम जय श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी की ऑफिशियली टुमारो I'm going to talk a little bit about it today because I'm entitling this talk Krishna's Appearance. I'm not going to recount the story because I'll probably recount that tomorrow. Thought I might take a different approach. First of all, let us establish who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is God. For many years, people in the West didn't really know about Krishna. We never had heard of him. Maybe heard of him. Maybe. But now, he's become quite famous. We know that God's the most famous person in the universe and beyond. But thanks to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, our guru, founder Acharya, Krishna's become very famous. We humans, why do we settle for less? Why do we all settle for less? Why do you find that acceptable? If money were no obstacle, where would you stay? Would you stay in a youth hostel? Would you stay in a 3-star hotel? Would you stay in a 5-star hotel? Would you fly coach, business class, first class, if money were no obstacle? We repeatedly accept circumstances that we don't want because we feel that we can afford it, we cannot afford it, or we don't deserve it. Is it true? But why do we see ourselves as second or third class persons? Aren't we all children of God? Isn't everybody here a child of God? Yeah, of course. We're all children of God. And if that's the case, then why do we believe that God would want his children to be treated as second class or third class citizens? Why would he? If you have children, what do you want for them? The best. Yes? No. Who does not want the best for their child, their children? We all do. Do you think that Krishna is different? Do you think he doesn't want that? Of course he wants that. Can he force you to do what he wants, to give you what he'd like to give you? No. He doesn't force you. He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't bend you against your will. No. He doesn't. Because if he did, would that be love? Would that be a symptom of love? If I force you to do things and I claim I love you, well, you might get the child to brush its teeth before going to bed, but that's a separate thing. Why do we accept death as our ultimate inevitable reality? Why? These are just simple examples of us settling for less. Who is the wealthiest person within the universe and beyond the universe? Who? Krishna. Krishna is. Why? How do we know? He owns everything. What do you come in with? Nothing. Maybe you have many things now. You might have land, property, lots of money. You might have houses in different countries, on different continents. Wonderful. But when you go, guess what? Maybe they put some clothes on you. That's about it. That's all you're going to go with. Right? So, if God is our Father. Krishna is our Father, and He is the greatest benefactor of all. Why do we keep settling for less? What do we all want? What do we all search for in this world? Happiness, right? And what is the chief means or expression or experience of happiness that one can find in this world? Through relationship, through love. Who here does not want to be loved? Please, whatever you do, don't love me, please. I couldn't take it. Who does not want love? No, everybody does. We want love. We want acceptance, don't we? We want acceptance by family, by friends, professionally. We want warmth. We want friendship. This is how we're wired. This is natural to us. We want compassion. We want people to be compassionate to us. We want understanding. Right? All these things. So, who's the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate goal that we can find in terms of a loving relationship? With whom? No matter how many people love you, when you die, it's gone. And they will be brokenhearted. Why did he leave me? How could he have gone? I'm alone. It all comes to an end. It all comes crashing down to an end. So what do you want to invest in? This little lifetime that you have here? In the grand scheme of things? This is so important. I just got to do this and do that. Yeah, well, it's important relatively. It's not important when it comes to universal time and time beyond this world, where there is no time, in the eternal sphere, in the spiritual world. Should we not direct our loving sentiment to the highest goal, the summit of all love? Well, who is that? Good question. I'm glad you asked. It's Krishna. Why Krishna? There are many manifestations of God. We know that. In many religions. Why Krishna? Because Krishna is the most beautiful form of the Godhead. The most beautiful, the most attractive, the most compelling, the most charismatic, the most magnetic, the most fun. Oh yeah. The most loving. And the most beautiful. The most beautiful embodiment of the Godhead ever. That's Krishna. Just if you would kindly turn your attention a little bit more to Krishna, see what happens. See if he does not want to reciprocate with you, his son, his daughter, his children. Those of us who have grown up children or older children, have you ever sat at home? When's he coming? I wonder when he's coming home. He's in a far off country. She's been gone so long. I miss her. I miss her so much. When is she coming? She said she was coming. Last month she didn't come. Now something happened with her work. She's not going to come for another 6 months. Huh? Yeah? How do you think Krishna feels? He's doing the same. When are you coming? When are they going to come back to you? Same. You think, oh no, don't. That's nonsense. He's, oh no, it's not nonsense. He's in your heart. He's watching everything. He's keeping an eye. But if you don't pay attention, if you don't turn your head and look at him, what's he going to do? He loves you, so he does not force you. That is a symptom of love. Right? Now, interestingly, I'll put this in. We have Krishna's birth chart, his kundali, his astrological chart. There are a couple different versions of it, because, 5,067 years ago or something like that. But we know that Krishna's Chandra, his moon sign, was Taurus, Vrishabha. And his nakshatra, the moon's constellational position, was Rohini. So moon in Taurus, Taurus is ruled by Venus. And moon is Uch in Taurus, which means exalted. As powerful, as wonderful, as favorable as can be. And don't forget, the moon is the heart, the mind, the emotions, the feelings. That's why the mind, the moon planet in Vedic astrology, is the most important planet from the point of view that it is the radical planet, which means what? The mind. As the mind goes, so do you go. If you wake up in a good mood, do we not have a good day, usually? And if you wake up in a bad mood, don't talk to her. Not today. Leave her alone. Right? So, mind is important. Moon is in Taurus, the sign of Venus. And Venus is the planet of, everybody knows, what?
Love.
He has the moon, his heart, and the sign of love. In the constellation, Rohini, ruled by the moon. Moon, Venus, moon. Heart, love. That's what he's all about. That is nature. That's how he acts. That's how he's wired. Play the flute, dance, do a little Bharatanatyam, a little Kathakali, play with the gopis, sing songs. Right? That's Krishna. Krishna appeared on earth some 5,000 years ago. Now, we think, oh my goodness, that's such a long time ago. Yes and no. It's explained, Prabhupada explains actually in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. Day of Brahma, creator, who created all the diversity in the universe. The duration of the life of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 solar years. Okay? You engineers, you calculating this? 4 billion. 4.3 billion. Long life, huh? And you thought if you lived to 90, you were doing good, right? That is good, relatively. Actually, you're supposed to live to 120, according to Vedic astrology, but hey, if you do 90, that's great. Now, Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. Once. How many years is that? 8.6 billion years. And when was he here? Yesterday. He was just here. 5,000 years ago. That's yesterday. Oh, I wish you would have been here. Yeah, where were you? I was asking myself the same question. Where was I? 5,000 years ago. Probably sunk in illusion. No doubt. Okay. Why does Krishna appear? Pritranaya sadhunam vinashayantu chadushkritam. To protect the devotees and to get rid of the demons. To get rid of the negative energy and the negative forces. That's why every avatar appears in various leelas and pastimes and circumstances. Time, place, circumstance. Different at different times. So that's why he appeared, right? But mostly, always God appears to protect the devotees. That's more important. If you have an intruder in your house at night, I hope that never happens. You may have to confront the intruder. What is more important to you, confronting the intruder or the safety of your family? Obviously, the safety of your family is far more important, and that's why you're confronting the intruder. Same with Krishna. You're more important in his mind. And what was the ultimate thing? Well, he did many things when he was here. In fact, I got pages of lists that we will never get to today. But what is the ultimate thing he did in the 125 years that he was here in Dwapar Yuga? He spoke Bhagavad Gita. That is the ultimate thing. Why do I say that's a bold statement? How can I say that is the ultimate thing? Because he may have saved the Pandavas and their kingdom. He may have gotten rid of a lot of negative forces on the earth. That's all history. Right? What's that got to do with you and me? Little or nothing. Bhagavad Gita? Still here. Still of value. Still one of the major scriptures, if not the major scripture, in the world. Now, I know people will disagree with that. You may have seen that in the Netherlands, they have now instituted the study of Bhagavad Gita from fifth grade, public school, fifth grade on up. The study of Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads are now part of the Dutch school system. See? Now you're thinking, oh, I immigrated to the wrong country. That's okay. We have Bhagavad Gita here. And I also saw a little video of British school students chanting and learning Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. I don't mean at a Gurukula. I mean at a regular school. How do we know Krishna's God? We go to the Shastra. We go to the scripture. What does it say? Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Ishvara, God, Supreme Control. Parama, Supreme. Ishvara Parama, Supreme Lord. Krishna is Krishna. Satchidananda Vigraha. His Vigraha is form. Is Sat Chit Ananda. Your form, no offense, is not Sat Chit Ananda. Your form is Bhumarapannalo Vayu Kammano Buddhari Evacha Ahankariti Yangme Vina Prakriti Ashvada. Your form is earth, water, fire, air, ether. Krishna's form is Sat Chit Ananda. Eternity, full knowledge, full consciousness, and Ananda, full bliss. Anadir Adir Govindan. Adir. Each of us has a beginning. God, Krishna, is Anadir. No beginning. Beginningless. Adir, the original. The original what? Anadi Adir Govinda, the original person. Sarvakarana Karanam, cause of all causes. I loved always this line. It's one of my favorite lines. How many things did you set into motion today? How many things did you cause to happen or set into motion today? Were you the cause of all causes for everybody? No. Krishna is. Then it says in the Bhagavatam, Ete Changsha Kala Punsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. They talk in there of all of these different avatars. There's a whole list. Varaha, Nara Narayan, Maharaj Prithu, Dandvantari, father of Ayurveda, Nrsinga, Vamana, and said that all of the above-mentioned incarnations are either portions or plenary portions of the Godhead. So they're not always 100% of the God energy. They might be a little less. But Krishna himself, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, is the full manifestation of the Godhead. We are searching for happiness, as I mentioned. Without peace of mind, my friends, there is no happiness. It doesn't exist. It says that in the Bhagavad Gita. How can there be happiness without peace? You can have an event that's happened or something, you've been able to buy something you wanted or something took place that made you very happy. But at the same time, you're all stressed out about something else. You're worried, you're fretful, you're apprehensive. What's going to happen? I hope this doesn't happen. I wish this would happen. Huh? Yet, something good has happened. But you cannot enjoy it. Not fully. Because you have no peace. Peace of mind. So how do we get that? Well, here's another verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhuktaram yagi tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam shantim richati. Yatva mam, knowing me, this is Krishna speaking, to be bhuktaram, the enjoyer of yagi tapasam. Whatever sacrifice you do, whatever you give up, whatever you offer and give away, the ultimate enjoyer is God. It's Krishna. So the ultimate beneficiary is God. Maybe we should offer it to him in a simple offering in our minds. Oh, here, this is for you. And carry on. It's not complicated. It can be done simply. You can do a nice puja at home at your altar. Or if you don't have any time to do a puja, just meditate on it in your mind. It's simple. Will he accept it? Oh, he won't accept that. It's not a whole puja with a bunch of... Yes, he will. He will accept it. He'll accept it on whatever level you're willing to offer it. You say, well, I don't have anything. I don't own anything. I don't have nothing to give. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yume bhakti prayajati. If one just offers me, with love and devotion, a leaf, flower, piece of fruit, or water, I will accept it. Okay, see? Your excuses are done. Right there. No excuse now. A leaf, you can go pluck it off the tree. Flower, from your garden. Even better. So he's the ultimate enjoyer. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the supreme controller of Sarva Loka. Of all the worlds. Well, that must be God. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Now, this is what I referred to at the beginning. Among all Bhutas, all living beings, every kind of living being, including the animals and the insects and the bugs and the birds and the fish. He is the surid. He is the best friend. You know what surid actually means? Rid means heart. And surid means dear heart. He is the dear heart. It's translated as dearest friend of all persons. But he says at the last line, Yatva mam, knowing this to be true, knowing that I am these things, shantim richati, one attains shantim. What's shantim? Peace. That's how you get peace. I'm giving you the peace formula. That's how you get peace. You cannot get happiness if you have no peace. Or your happiness is transitory. Right? Another beautiful verse in the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kopaviksha lakshavriteshu surabir abhipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashata sambrahma sevimanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. This, if you have not read the prayers of the Brahma Samhita, I am telling you, just to read the prayers will put you into a transcendental state. I guarantee it. If you enter into it, it will put you into a transcendental state, unless you're in a coma. But if you're awake, I guarantee it. It is so potent, it is so powerful, it is so beautiful. So what does it mean? There's just one of many of these verses. I worship Govinda. So Krishna is Govinda because he loves the cows. The highest planet in the spiritual world is called Goloka. The Loka, the planet of the Go. What are Go? Cows. Cows. The first progenitor, in other words, the original creator, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire, in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of wish-fulfilling trees. Oh, so they got cows in the spiritual world. Yeah. And they got, it appears they got abodes. They got buildings in the spiritual world. Yeah. And they've also got trees, flora and fauna. Yeah, they do. But do you see the difference? What kind are they? The cows are Surabhi cows. Do they give milk? Well, sure. If you want milk, they'll give you anything you want. All desires are fulfilled. That's what they give. The trees are kalpavriksha trees. They also fulfill all desires. Everything becomes alive, conscious, and immediately delivers what you want in the spiritual world. No stress, no worry, no undue labor. The abodes built with spiritual gems. Well, you know what? How many times have I heard those in charge in governments, science, technology proclaim to us, humanity has never reached this point before. We are so advanced, it's scary how far we've come. And everybody prior to us was a Neanderthal. May as well have been a caveman. That's what we're told. That's what they teach us. Used to go in one of my ears and right out the other. Still does. Is that the truth? Well, look what they build things out of in the spiritual world. Here, we build it out of what? Cement. Lovely. I love that smell of fresh poured cement, don't you? Cement, and what else? What other things do they build it out of?
Concrete.
Concrete, isn't that the same thing? What else do they build it out of? You know, here in the spiritual world, it's built out of gems. You're thinking, oh, like a little gems. No, my friends. Sheets of it. Walls of it. Pillars of it. You name the gem, it's there. Floors of malachite. Pillars of lapis lazuli and coral. Oh, yes, my friends. And you thought your house was nice. And it may well be. It's the spiritual world. So, that's Krishna. And always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune. Oh, yes. How many here are married? How many gentlemen here are married? It's a few. How many want to be married that aren't? Two. Three. The wife is meant to be the goddess of fortune, personified. What does that mean? She brings joy and love into the home. She believes in you. She has complete respect for her husband and subsequently love. And you see how it works, my friends, is we have a masculine and a feminine principle. You think we just have it down here? Well, nowadays it's a little different. We have a little gender fluidity going on now, but I won't address that so much. There's a masculine and a feminine principle in the physical world, also in the spiritual world. The masculine principle is the creative impetus, creation, creative force. The feminine principle is the manifestation of the creative force. Creation, manifestation. Put them together, you're looking at it. Right? That's how it's designed. I made this up? No. Huh? So God always has the goddess. Very important. These two functions, these two roles are separate and complementary. If you want to conceive a child and you're the man, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself, no matter how successful, wealthy, or famous you are. You need to find a fertile field for your creative impetus. You need a woman. And that creation goes into the woman, and she becomes the container and the manifestation for that creative force. And out comes the baby. For those of you who are pregnant. Right? Same in the spiritual world. So when you are married to the goddess of fortune, your life gets better. Does it stay the same as it was before you were married? I hope not. Has it gotten worse since you got married? Then you married the goddess of misfortune. Oops. And for you ladies, you must embody the energy of the goddess of fortune. Don't just blame him all the time. Oh, if he would do this, he doesn't do that. So if you're right, and what you're saying is true, you have to find out a way to inspire him. Not by ragging on him and criticizing him and putting him down and putting him down in front of other people. Never, my friends, ever do you do that. Ever. Krishna has goddesses of fortune around him. How many? Hundreds of thousands. Why are all these lovely girls hanging around him? That's what I want to know. Oh, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why. Everybody wants to be around him. You can't resist. If you met him, if he walked in here right now, well, he is here. But you can't see him, perhaps, at the moment. That would be it for you. Your life, as you know it, would be over. Because all you'd want to do is follow him around. Believe me. That's what would happen. The Godhead manifests himself mostly as in the principle of Aishvarya. Opulence. And, you know, like the court of the king, the power and the wealth and the status. Just like you would entering court. And that's called Aishvarya. Krishna also manifested himself in the mode of Aishvarya while he was here on earth as the king in Dwarka. He built a city in Dwarka. And he was the king, and he served like the king. Behaved like the king. Yeah. What was it like in Dwarka? In Krishna, in his manifestation of opulence and kingship. This is from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. After discussing the matter with Balaram, his older brother, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had a fortress 12 yojanas in circumference. A yojana is how big? 8 miles. 12 times 8 is? 96, is it? Big enough. The ruins of Dwarka have been discovered under the sea off the coast of Dwarka. In Gujarat. That is a fact. Inside that fort, he had built a city containing all kinds of wonderful things. In the construction of that city could be seen the full scientific knowledge and architectural skill of Vishvakarma. Who's Vishvakarma? The chief architect among the gods.
Universal architect. He's a universal architect.
He's the universal architect, correct. He's the guy. If you could afford it, you go to him. That's the guy. He's the I am pay of the higher planet. So there were wide avenues, commercial roads, and courtyards laid out on ample plots of land. There were splendid parks and gardens stocked with trees and creepers. From the heavenly planets. Oh, imports. Let's bring them down from the heavenly planets to Earth. How many things did you send away for on Amazon and ask them to deliver to you from the heavenly planets? And they said, sorry, sir, we don't serve that jurisdiction. Correct? Krishna brought it down from the heavenly planets. The gateway towers were topped with golden turrets, touching the sky. And their upper levels were fashioned of quartz crystal. Beautiful. Quartz crystal vibrates with what planet? Same, similar resonance and wavelength as what planet? The moon. The moon. And Krishna was born in what dynasty? Chandravansh. Moon dynasty. Right? The gold-covered houses. Gold-covered houses. And we think this is pretty good. Yeah, this is gold. Look at my gold. Here we go. Gold-covered houses. I love it. They were adorned in front with golden pots and on top with jeweled roofs. Now, remember, I told you how the jewels work now. Sheets of jewels. And the floors were inlaid with precious emeralds. Beautiful. Beside the houses stood treasury buildings, warehouses, and stables for fine horses. All built of silver and brass. Each residence had a watchtower and also a temple for the household deity. Oh, do you have a temple in your house? Do you have a shrine? Do you have a little altar? Do you have a shelf where you have your altar? Do you have something? You must, my friends. Extremely important. If you don't invite God in your house, why do you think he's going to come barging in? Tell me. He is not going to come barging in. He's a gentleman. You must provide a place for him and give him a proper invite. Yeah? Every day. Every day. Just let him know you're welcome. Hopefully you'll come today. Every day we invite you. Very important. Filled with citizens of all four social orders, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, the city was especially beautified by the palaces of Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus. It goes on. Yeah? That's what it was like in his Aishvarya manifestation. Now, you can worship Krishna in that manifestation if you want. That's not a problem. But we say, let's set that aside and embrace the Madhurya mode of the Godhead. Sweetness. Madhurya means sweetness. Maduram, maduram, vapurasya vibhor. Maduram, maduram, vadanam, maduram. Madugandhim, ridu, smitamenta, daho. Maduram, 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 maduram. Now Krishna's lotus feet are very beautiful, and his form is even more beautiful, but his smiling face is the most beautiful of them all. Madhurya is the sweet, loving, reciprocal relationship that we yearn for. With whom? I said it in the beginning. With everyone. With special people. We all yearn for that love. That is what we want more than anything. That is what Krishna wants. God wants that the same more than anything. We, his children, can enter into that loving reciprocal relationship with him. He's inviting us. This is better than the pomp and circumstance of Aishvarya. Depends what you like. Right? What is our goal? Our goal is just that. Our goal is Krishna Prema. That is our goal here. When Prabhupada established this society, international, he said, this will be 1965, I believe. He said, this will be the international society. And he was in New York with a handful of disciples who knew nothing about nothing. spiritually, but they all had good heart. He said, I'm going to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And they said, oh, Swamiji, that's not a good name. Really? No. People won't understand who Krishna is. They won't get it. You should just call it International Society for God Consciousness. Then they'll know. Krishna says, oh yes? They'll know. Who is God? Who is he? Do they know God? They know what he looks like? His name? His face? He's Krishna. How will we teach them if we don't tell them who God is? So they can get to know God. If your friend says, oh, I just met this wonderful girl. She's like this and this and that. And I think I really like her. And then you say, oh, well, when do I get to meet her? What? Oh, you'll never get to meet her. You just need to know that I'm in relationship with a woman. Well, what's she like? Oh, that's not important. What color is her hair? None of your business. Doesn't make any sense. Huh? We got to know the person. How do you love somebody you know nothing about? God. That's a position. You know? CEO. That's a position. Who is the CEO? Right? Who's the guy in charge? So, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness, Bhakti Yoga, is about real love. Real love, not illusory love. Not illusory love. Real love is free from selfishness and exploitation. If you say you love somebody, and you're trying to exploit them, manipulate them, and you're just trying to get your needs met to their detriment, I'm sorry. That is not love. That is not love. Unconditional. Love must become unconditional. Real love means to sacrifice for others. Does it not? That is the true expression of love, is self-sacrifice. What do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you? This attitude that you have had, all of you, for different people at different times, family members, your children, hopefully your spouse, you can have the same for God. When love becomes perverted in the material world, there's love. What's the opposite of love? If love is perverted, I don't mean hate. Lust. Love, lust. You might say, yeah, but lust, I really enjoy lust. But lust drains the energy. Lust drains. Lust means I need to get my needs met. It doesn't matter about the other person, as long as I get what I need. So, what we're trying to develop is pure love, unconditional love, love that invites self-sacrifice. Is it easy to do? Not initially, it's not. Not initially. It takes a little practice. So, we'll conclude. One more verse from Brahma Samhita. So how do we get this? How do we do it? Premanjana churita bhakti velochinena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tam aham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the original Lord, who is Shama Sundara. Beautiful. What is Krishna's color, complexion? Bluish, blackish, like a monsoon cloud. How many people have you met in this lifetime with that skin color, skin tone? Bluish, blackish. Oh, none. That's what he likes. Shama Sundara. Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes. I hardly touched on his attributes, but I have pages of them here, in case we got around to it. Whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, anointed with the balm of love. I love that. With the eye of devotion, smeared with the balm of love. When the love pours out of your eyes, have you seen that? You've experienced this, where the love sometimes just wells up and it pours out of your eyes. Or you've seen it with others, correct? That's where we need to get to, my friends. We need to get to that level. So, on Krishna's birthday, or appearance day, officially tomorrow, we invite you to enter into this most confidential, personal, and intimate loving relationship with God in his most beautiful form and most loving form of Krishna. And then we'll all go back to Godhead together at the end of our lives and get off this wheel, hamster wheel of repeated birth and death. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.